back for the Monday morning edition of the Morning Roundup. Balin Height here. Derek Decker also, unfortunately not in studio, but over the tele line. Always a good time when we get Derek in the studio, but maybe we'll have that coming up here pretty soon. It's been a busy stretch of a couple of weeks for us since we've been back in the office, Derek, after what was a nice winter break for the both of us. And hey, now it's time to get into what has really kept us busy. That's high school basketball in particular. We kind of got a little bit of a highlight of the Tournament of Champions, but if you want to step into kind of what Dodge City was able to do in that tournament, talk about some of those results for the Red Demons. I know a really, really great final game to win the seventh place up there against Newton, but had a nice opening game against Derby, top five team in 6A. Couldn't get it done, though, but not a bad showing overall for the Red Demons. Just a tough, tough tournament field.
Yeah, it really was, and obviously they got a tough draw off the top with Derby. I tell you what, I thought Dodge City maybe played its best game of the season against Derby on Thursday night. They led by six with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then Derby made a couple of big threes to tie and then take the lead with about 2 minutes to go. Made some free throws down the stretch. But again, Dodge City had some opportunities to win that game. Shot it really well, very well composed. They did have 22 turnovers, so more than you'd like in a game like that. But they shot it so well. They were over 50% for the game. This is not a team that does that very often. Jaden Springer popped off for a career-high 17 points in that game. So really good showing. Gave them a lot of confidence going forward. And, you know, obviously there are no moral victories. But Shane Trauber came out of the post game. We talked to Jaden Springer after the game and also talked to Bryson and Zweda as well. But felt like, man, this is a team that has turned the corner. You think back to the Guymon game, and Guymon was just a disaster from start to finish. Things just didn't go right. You're on the road. You're down in Oklahoma, not used to a lot of different things, whether it be the basketball, which is different, the officiating's a little different. Actually, there was a nice crowd down at Guymon that night. So anyway, the point being, things did not go well there, and they responded in a very good way against Liberal in their WAC opener in that Friday night contest. Very, very nicely. Dominated them by 26 points. You know, again, shot it really well from three. And then come back from Derby, you compete, but you don't win, and you feel pretty good going into Friday. In the loser's bracket, yes, there's less pressure, and things did not go well against Bishop Carroll. A 58-34 loss. Now, listen, Bishop Carroll got blown out on Thursday night by May South, who made it to the championship and pushed Hutch to the wire. But Bishop Carroll ended up winning their next two games, and they finished fifth in the tournament. So it's a nice win for them on Saturday afternoon. That was a good team. I thought Bishop Carroll, they're 500, but they're a legitimate team. Dodge City really struggled out of the gate. And then on Saturday, that's the triple overtime thriller you're referencing. So let's just kind of step through this real quick, kind of step by step. Dodge City is down 7 with about 90 seconds to go in the game. They get a couple of turnovers in the backcourt. They get fouled once. They make a free throw, and then they get a bucket on an inbounds play. Fast forward to the end, Dodge City gets the ball with about 17 seconds to go. They're down 2 with a chance to tie or win it, and they didn't even try to take the last shot. The first shot that they got was intended to tie the game. And then the offensive rebound flurry happened where they had basically 4 or 5 chances at it. The ball just kind of kept bouncing around, and everybody just kept shoveling it toward the rim. And if you go back and watch that video, Austin Schulte is basically behind the backboard with that shot. And it was the last opportunity as it, buzzer went off as he shot it. And he ends up knocking it in. Schulte, that was his first basket of the game. Schulte had 9 points between that basket and in the overtime periods. Both teams scored 3 points in the first overtime. Then in the second overtime, Dodge City's up 2. Newton goes for the win. Corner 3 goes off the heel. Camden Carr, who made the all-tournament team, had 29 points in the game. He tips it in with 1 second to go to send it to a third overtime. And then Dodge City is able to get 1 bucket at the beginning, 1 free throw, and then Newton misses a fall-away 3 by Carr at the buzzer. And Dodge hangs on for 7th place. Thrilling, to be sure. Dodge has not played in hardly any close games this year, so that was a lot of fun, and glad that the Demons were able to avoid the upset against a Newton team that has really struggled the last couple of years. But a lot of fun. Again, the whole tournament, as we've kind of talked about, was a lot of fun. Hutch winning the championship. In that championship game, Baylen had three technicals, an intentional foul, and an ejection. So there were all kinds of fireworks in that last game on Saturday night. But start to finish for the Demons, you got one game that you can take away and say, man, we really played well. It wasn't even the win. And then you've got two games saying, we've got a lot of things to work on as Dodge City gets ready for Great Bend on Friday night.
I did not realize that that championship game had that much going on. A lot of fireworks taking place, obviously, and it's a championship game. That's what happens. You know, talking about championship games, Garden City heads off to Valley Center in the January Jam. The guys go ahead and win against Sunrise Christian in night one on Thursday, beat Wichita Northwest on Friday. Both of those games by double figures for Garden City. And in the process, start a new school record of 12 straight wins. They go 12-0 to open up the year, a mark that was set back in 1950. 72 years it took a team to get past 11 wins to open up a year. Garden City does it, and then they fall the following day to the reigning 6A state championship, Wichita Heights. What a game that was. The final in that game, 60-47. Garden City's leading scorer, Jay Steinmetz, gets fouled twice. He gave up two fouls there early, was taken out for majority of the first half, held scoreless in that stretch. Caleb Weese steps up for Garden City, finishes with 13 points. Garden City had a lead, 38-35, with about 4:30 to go. That's when Caleb Weese goes down. Weese does not play the rest of the game. And then you go a little bit further down in that. Garden City playing without its second best scorer and leading rebounder. Jay Steinmetz starts to get things going in the fourth quarter. Garden City goes into that quarter down 43-38. And the Buffaloes were within five after a Jay Steinmetz made three and a foul on the floor with the basketball with 3.5 minutes left, a chance to score, bring the game to a one possession. That did not happen. Marcus Ziegler went on the other end. Great player, point guard for Wichita Heights, and hit a three that was pretty much the end of the game for Garden City. They would battle late but could not get back in it. Great test for Garden City. It really was. And it was awesome to see these two teams. Very well, two teams we could see, honestly, at the end of the year in a state championship type format. Joe Auer, the head coach for Wichita Heist, great coach. He's been, you know, to the state championship so many consecutive years, four total state titles for Wichita Heights. He came up to head coach Jeff Williams and said, hey, I hope we see you in the championship game. Because that's how good these two teams are. I think they're what the top teams in the state of Kansas, at least on the western side of the bracket, and it's going to be a lot of fun to follow them along. Here's the thing now for Garden City, and Derek, we were talking about this off the mic as well, and it's so hard for teams to do this. You're going for a goal, right? They were going for that 12-0 start, counting them down, each win more important than the last, and then you kind of have all that energy funneled into what was an emotional game, an injury, back and forth, really the whole game against a great team, the reigning state champion. How do you respond? And you don't get a lot of time to kind of get settled and get set back because you've got Goodland at home tomorrow night, which has been a solid 3A squad, a winnable game for Garden City for sure, but a very solid 3A squad. How do you respond after not having, they have a goal, but I'm saying not that initial stretch of where they were trying to go and win at least 12 straight to open up the year. That's what's going to be most interesting about this team, and I think that's the biggest storyline to follow for Garden City, because I think me and you can both agree they're probably going to be favored the rest of the way. You look at their schedule, it's mostly WAC competition. They've already beaten Hayes and Great Bend on the road, so arguably the two top teams outside of Garden City in the conference will be at home. So that's a big-time step for Garden City, is they're going to get those two games at home. I don't see a game on this schedule for the Buffaloes in which they're not at least favored in. I'm not saying they don't lose. There's probably going to be one or two out there, especially in conference play. But I just think that they're going to be the favorite. They're going to have the target on their back. They should stay in the top 10 in 6A rankings, according to KBCA. They're at number 7 heading into that game. Wichita Heights was ranked number 3. I don't see them falling, but it's all about this next stretch of 5 games or so. You get a game tomorrow night against Goodland, then you have 7 days off. I think the sky's the limit for this team, and I think a state championship, at least berth in the finals, is the ceiling and is out there for these guys.
Yeah, and looking at the upcoming schedule, you're right. I would say, you know, teams that get, it always kind of comes back to the median, right? Like, we don't see undefeated teams hardly ever in high school basketball, and Garden City's legit. Like, there's no question about it. They're the best team in this conference. They're the best team in Western Kansas. The question for me is, number one, if they do make it through, I don't care what anybody says about schedule strength. If you make it through any regular season undefeated, you're a good basketball team. It is really hard, and it means you can win close games. It probably also means you got a fair amount of good fortune at the end of games. Sometimes it does come down to a couple bounces, but it means that you can win really close games, and that's a really good thing. And I think Garden City has already showcased the ability to blow teams out. But when you look at the rest of the season, it's possible that they could win out. I mean, it's very possible. I don't know if this team is, if they're going to fall to a whack team that knows them well. I think there's certainly some games that are going to be close in there. A lot of it depends on how well other teams shoot it from distance. I think the key for me to beat Garden City is somebody's got to find a way to slow them down and play in the half court. And that doesn't seem to be a popular thing across the rest of the WAC. So in my opinion, that's how you beat a team like Garden City, who likes to play and can play at a fast pace. They can score points when they get out and run. They can turn teams over and then go to the bucket and transition. I think that the key for somebody in the conference is going to be trying to take the air out of the basketball a little bit. Somebody who doesn't turn it over a lot and tries to beat them in the half court. But other than that, I don't think Garden City loses. This is clearly a state tournament team. Very well should be, avoiding any major upsets, and a team that could make it into the Final Four, maybe even the Final Two. And then you never know what happens from there. All you got to do, once you get to the state tournament, I think this is, it's great. I think it's awesome. Once you get to the state tournament, anything can happen. You know that. And when you're in a single elimination tournament, all you ask for is a chance to play in that game.
So here's a popular scenario getting thrown out there right now. It involves the final, the final run for these teams. So looking at the East right now, you have Overland Park, Blue Valley North High School, 12-0. You got Olathe West at 10-1. Olathe North at 7-1, and so on and so on. That's your top three. Then you swing it down to the East. Garden City at 12-1 at the top right now. Wichita Heights at 11-1. If neither of those teams lose the rest of the way, Garden City will be the 2 seed. Heights will be the 1 seed just because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. What we could see, and it would take some losses in the eastern part of the sub-state era, Garden City and Wichita Heights could see each other in the championship game. That would be a scenario that would be really fun and really cool to see a rematch of that game. By far one of the better games this year in the state as far as two top teams going at each other. But Blue Valley North High School looks really, really solid, and they've played some really good basketball away from, just in the East, that they're one of the top teams for a reason. Yeah, I look at this Garden City schedule moving forward. You've got Goodland Tuesday, Dodge City on Saturday, Guymon in a weird away game. I know, Derek, you had to go down to Guymon, Oklahoma. That one could be one that maybe trips you up, right, just because of the travel.
No, it will not be.
No, it will not be. It will not be, says Derek. Okay, won't be a game that trips you up. The Great Bend game, though, that could be fun. That's a rematch of a three-point game. Garden City goes on the road. And at the time when Garden City beat Great Bend, I don't think a lot of people were really taking Great Bend that seriously. There wasn't a lot thought about. Then they go into Wichita and hand Wichita Collegiate their first loss of the season. That was really impressive. Really impressive stuff from Great Bend. I think they're looked at, if not the second best team, right there with Garden City at the top in this conference. And that's something we got to follow and certainly pay attention to. Should be a ton of fun. We've got a couple more minutes here. Let's go ahead and transition into what is our college basketball roundup. Wrapping up what was a pretty fun weekend in the Big 12. If you're a K-State fan, maybe not if you're a KU fan. KU loses their back-to-back games against TCU, lose at home 80-63, just like Kansas State did. How about that? TCU knocking off both of the in-state state schools. K-State gets the win over Texas Tech, 68-58, kind of a grinder-out game. Texas Tech just trying to grab a little bit of life in the Big 12 as they're buried in the bottom. You now have three teams tied for second behind K-State. KU, Texas, and Iowa State all with two losses. Oklahoma State just knocked off Iowa State, gave them their second loss as well. What are you looking at right now as in the Big 12 picture, Derek, and what do you kind of make of this so far?
Well, obviously, the storyline, and honestly, in my opinion, the storyline nationally is the fact that K-State is in first place in a team that was picked to finish last. Like, Jerome Tang has become a household name in terms of head coaches in college basketball. And this is a guy, you know, and as much as this probably pains K-State fans to hear, they, I think, know that Jerome Tang's probably not going to be at K-State very much longer. When you have a season like this, it's going to be time to move on, and he's going to get looked at by some serious contenders. I kind of snickered when you said, I'm going to be honest with you, when you threw his name out there for Texas, this was several weeks ago, obviously, when Texas was dealing with their stuff. I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. I don't know. You know, I don't necessarily think he's legitimate enough. Well, this might be the season that brings him into that conversation at Texas. So anyway, that's a totally separate point. In terms of Kansas, it's time. Now, I've told you, I have said it on the air multiple times, it has been time for Kansas to lose some close games. Clearly, the K-State game and the rivalry, that's one thing, and losing an overtime on the road by 1 point, you know, that just happens. But you knew they weren't going to win all these games against great teams. And then TCU, wow. I mean, TCU came out and dominated from the start. I mean, this game was really never even close. Kansas was never really in the game. They were down double digits the entire time. They were down 20-plus for a good chunk of the game. And TCU walked in to, you know, arguably the toughest place to play in college basketball and walked out with a 23-point win. I mean, people don't do that in the Big 12. So that's really, really impressive for TCU. And Baylen, your Horned Frogs are looking pretty good. But I think the Jayhawks finally got a reality check this week. Also, it'll be very interesting to see who is number one today when that comes out, because there's a lot of folks that are advocating that it should be Alabama instead of Purdue. I think it's probably going to be Purdue, but they had Maryland take them to the wire yesterday. I think Alabama's been the most impressive team of the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, I think the Jayhawks finally needed this reality check a little bit, and Bill Self will have his guys ready to go for Baylor in a road game tonight. That's a great matchup, and it's really kind of one of the only good matchups on tonight. So it'll get a lot of attention. A lot of folks should be watching this basketball game. Baylor's a good team. And I'm not saying Kansas is fraudulent. Of course, I'm not saying that. I think they could win the national championship. But if you look back through their wins, like, who's their best win? Indiana? Iowa State? You tell me. I mean, both those games were at home. They don't have any super, super impressive wins to this point. The only time that they played a legitimate top 10 team that everybody can agree on was Tennessee, and they played terrible. They were awful on offense in that game. Granted, it was Thanksgiving weekend, neutral site, you know, all that stuff down in Atlantis. But I'll ask you this question. I'm not asking is KU fraudulent, but should they take a step back and realize, whoa, maybe we're not as good as we think we are, and we've got a long way to go?
Maybe not a long way to go, but I think it's time for a reset. I think you're right. I don't know I don't know if they're fraudulent. You're looking at their wins right now. They've got three losses. Tennessee by 14. Tennessee's a top team in the country, ranked number two in KenPom this morning. K-State at 26, and TCU now at 18. Back-to-back losses, one over a rival. That's kind of a, I don't know, maybe you could kind of toss that one out the window, right, on the road, a one-point loss in overtime. The TCU one scares me a little bit. TCU at 18 in the Ken Pomeroy rankings this morning. Yeah, probably Iowa State, their best win, at home by two. A lot of close wins, you're right. You know, Oklahoma by four, West Virginia by 14, not as much close one. Texas Tech, that one's interesting because it's a three-point win on the road, and Texas Tech looks like by far and away the worst team in the Big 12. Not that that's saying much because they're both, you know, they're really, really good. But Indiana, for sure, probably their best win outside of the conference. Iowa State, their best win in the conference. You could go back to Duke on a neutral court way back when, third game of the year. Not sure what else you want to take from that. Duke is kind of a middle-of-the-pack team this year. I don't know. They definitely need to reset. They need to kind of rethink, and it does not get any easier. I mean, how about this? A day off, essentially, and you've got to travel and go play at Baylor. Two Big 12 Player of the Year, first team guys for sure. Jalen Wilson, Keontae George. That's going to be a fun one. I cannot wait for that at all. That should be a ton of fun in that game. But maybe you need to get some other guys. I think what this comes down to me, or down for me in this game, is kind of You know, where's your production coming from for Kansas? You had a guy like Grady Dick who didn't come in initially and look like a freshman, and I feel like maybe he looked a little bit more so like a freshman in that game against Kansas State. That was kind of your number two with Jalen Wilson in there. They moved the basketball well. I don't know. I don't think it's they're in trouble necessarily, but I don't think they're as strong either as we initially thought. Now they've been exposed just a touch in these last two games. And you talked about who might be number one, probably going to end up being Purdue. Does UCLA have an outside chance? I mean, three losses there for the Bruins. Alabama as well. UCLA hasn't lost since, well, they just came off of a loss against Arizona. Never mind. That tells you how much I was not paying attention this weekend because it was just so action-packed with college basketball. So no UCLA. They would have had probably a pretty good chance. And Tennessee just lost to Kentucky a week ago. Does Tennessee have an opportunity to jump up in there? I don't know. It's probably Purdue because the AP poll is weird. Just with the one loss, you're right. Losses or games coming up against Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. It's a weird year. Can we just say it's weird? Can we just leave it there and can we just fast forward? I don't want to fast forward because I'm enjoying all these games, but there's no clear answer to a lot of these conversations. It's going to take, I think, everyone jumping into the tournament and it getting really crazy. K-State right now projected by Ken Pomeroy to finish 11-7 in conference play. That would mean they're number one, but Iowa State and Kansas both finished or both expected to finish right there. I don't know who's still going to win this Big 12. I love the fact that K-State's up there. I was super high on K-State coming into the year. I certainly didn't think they were going to win the conference, but when I saw this team, the pieces that they had come in, I liked Jerome Tang a lot on the outside, just what he had done there with Bryce Drew at Baylor. Really waited his turn, and you feel like guys that wait forever for that head coaching job after getting a couple of offers, they wait for the right situation, the right moment. And Jerome Tang has been very calculated, very, very good on the outside. Seems like he's great in the community. And I love the quote when he told the fans, you know, hey, I gave you one court storming. Now we expect to win from here. I think that's the way K-State has to think. If they want to be one of the top teams in the Big 12, that's what it's going to take. That's where it's going to come down to for the Wildcats. Derek, I don't know what you're thinking as far as kind of this Big 12 picture. A little bit of a kind of a pause there. But, yeah, we've talked about Kansas. We've talked about what K-State's looking at. I don't know. I don't know what else we can say. Like, I feel like every time we say something and we have a direction we want to look at, somebody loses the top. Does that fair assumption?
Oh, 100%. It absolutely is. I will also quickly say with the Kelvin Sampson loss yesterday, and Houston falling at home to Temple, Houston's probably not going to lose very much more. I mean, that might be their last loss. Obviously, they're going to be favored continually in every game the rest of the season, but they're probably going to fall out of the number one spot. Then again, it's a one-point loss. Like, things happen. This is the beauty of college basketball and beauty in basketball in general. Like, you're going to lose some one-point games. It is going to happen. Things don't go your way at the end. That's what my point was earlier about going through an undefeated, a regular season with one loss or undefeated or anything like that. It's so hard, especially in conference play where teams know you. So I still, in my opinion, I think Houston is the best team, the most complete team in the country because of that defense. But Alabama's kind of coming on. You know, Purdue's really good at the top. Once again, very much like last year, no clear-cut favorite going into the NCAA tournament. No, we're not there yet, but there's not going to be a clear-cut favorite. And I love it. And it's just going to make for a very exciting next couple of months of college basketball.
Can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to close out a Monday morning edition for us from Garden City, Kansas in the KWKR studios. For Derek Decker, I'm Baylen Height saying see ya. We'll be back tomorrow. More coverage. We'll be recapping that Kansas and Baylor game. And we'll probably allow ourselves to get a reset from some NFL action and look ahead to these matchups coming up. Hopefully a Patrick Mahomes update awaits us tomorrow morning and whatever else happens. Also get you set for high school basketball on Tuesday night. Fun show this morning. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.